Are you guys gonna play my theme song?
What is your theme song?
Tell us your theme song and we'll play
Star Wars.
That's it? That's your theme song?
We were hoping we would talk about Star Wars again.
I trademarked it or whatever. I copyrighted
it. So we have your permission to use it. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool, yeah.
I got
a letter from John Williams saying that, hey, man, you can use it as your theme.
When the lawyers come for us, we'll tell them that.
The second episode
goes
live. We get a request.
Lawyers, come on, man.
All right.
No lawyers with Star Wars, none at all.
Lawyers don't listen to podcasts, right?
Well,
let's get right into it then. Welcome back to a special episode of The Horrible Podcast, where we like to bring you a uniquely face value view on horror movies. This is a special episode because we have an interview today, and I'll get around to him here in a second. We're going to talk all Blair Witch-related stuff today, as the new Blair Witch just came out, Adam Wingard's Blair Witch. And as always, I'm here, Devin, with the co-hosts, and again, a special guest. But first off, I want to ask to my right, my friend Blutster, how are you doing? Are you excited about this interview?
That was such a sweet introduction, Devin.
Was it?
He called me. He said I was his friend. No, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling ready. I literally just walked out of the theater, and I'm feeling hyped.
Yeah. This will be a fun one. This is actually our second interview with Eduardo Sanchez, which I just spoiled, but whatever.
Oh.
He'll be coming up here in a second. Dylan, though, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. I'm glad to finally talk to Ed, because I didn't get to the chance to last time.
Oh, you weren't here.
So I came sporting my Star Wars t-shirt, hoping we would just get off on a tangent again and talk about that shit, but no, I'm really excited.
No, we've already started off talking about Star Wars. We haven't gotten to beards again yet and having food.
Well, I still
in
don't
beard
have one of those, so
and stuff like that, but we might get back around to it. Manton, what do you think?
I think going to beards would be a great topic, but of course I would. But yeah, I'm doing well. I'm drinking a pumpkin ale because you know what? I don't care. I will totally buy into all that pumpkin shit.
It's the season,
it's
buddy.
Delicious.
I'm into it. I feel like it's like getting more annoying when people complain about pumpkin shit
than
people talk about pumpkin shit. Anyway,
it actually is.
The cat's out of the bag. We're here a second time around with Eduardo Sanchez, who is notable for
not
directing.
Sanchez.
I didn't say Sanchez.
Yeah, you did.
Did I say
Sanchez, buddy?
Yeah, Eduardo Sanchez. God damn it.
There you go, buddy.
Who is notable for the Blair Witch Project, the original, as well as things like Exists, Altered, Lovely Molly, etc. But here he is, Eduardo, man. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all excited just now because we were mentioning earlier that we saw the Blair Witch recently, the new one by Adam Wingard, who's a cast favorite director here. We all are pretty big fans of his work. But yeah, let's kind of kick it off with that, Eduardo. How did you kind of get connected with Adam Wingard? Had you known him before this came out? How did this kind of process start with this remake, or not really a remake, but kind of a sequel to the Blair Witch Project?
Lionsgate bought Artisan, they've owned the rights to Blair Witch, so we've been talking to Lionsgate for a while now just about what's next for the franchise, and if there's, you know, we've been pitching them stuff, mm-hmm. and it just nothing ever worked. We actually wrote a script for a Blair Witch sequel.
Oh, no kidding.
It didn't work for whatever reason, and so then they came to us and they were like, hey, we're thinking, you know, this, we have a plan. We want to get Adam and Simon and, you know, do it. And we were like, you know, I mean, we had met Simon and Adam during a press for VHS 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At Sundance. So we had just hung out with them at Sundance. And we were like, wow, that's great. You know, they were like, you know, if we could have chosen anybody to make this movie, it would have been them. I mean, it was like, we had actually been talking about Blair Witch at Sundance, and they were wondering why there wasn't another movie or whatever. And then, so it was just, you know, kind of a weird, meeting of energy or whatever. It was like sort of like the luck had kind of come together. And we were just kind of like, let them do what they want to do, you know, and you know, we gave them a little bit of input, but we kind of wanted them, let them free and kind of let them explore it and see what they came up with.
So I assume you're familiar with some of their other works, Simon and Simon Baird and Adam Wingard, like You Are Next and The Guest and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. So I guess seeing that kind of stuff, you were like, yeah, bring it on, give them the creative control, let's see what they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had seen what they did with, you know, found footage with the, the VHS film. So, you know, I knew they knew what, you know, we knew they knew what they were doing. So we were like, yeah, man, bring it on.
Yeah, but did you have any, were you nervous at all handing off your baby to these guys?
Yeah.
You met before.
Always, man, because, you know, these guys are untrustworthy, really.
I suspected that.
It's like I've said it a million times. It was like handing your daughter, you know, I have a daughter. And hopefully I'm not handing her over for a while, but she's 15. So, but, you know, it's like handing your daughter over to the, you know, the son-in-law. And this, in this case, two son-in-laws. So they better, you know, they better treat her good. But they treated her good. And we were very happy when we read the script and when we saw the cut of the film. And, you know, it was cool.
So did any of that, that movie that you guys had been working on, the script, I guess, the spec script, did any of that sneak over into the new one? Once Simon Barrett put his hands on it, or was it his?
No, I don't even think he read it. I think because we definitely didn't want to like cross the streams, you know.
Sure, yeah.
So we were kind of like, you know, just let them do what they wanted to do. But no, I mean, you know, that other one. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe you know, Lionsgate want to you know, look at that again. But yeah, it just none of that ended up in Simon's version.
Gotcha.
We were actually just talking about that before this, like, you know, does Eduardo Sanchez want to get back into the game?
Yeah. That was going to be my next question, Luis, so you mentioned, you bring it up now, is that, is there some kind of momentum now with the Blair Witch franchise that's becoming a thing to where you think that you might get your hands back into it?
I don't know. I mean, I hope. I mean, look, I think all of us involved will always have, you know, a special place in our hearts for Blair Witch. We always thought that the mythology could be, you know, there's a lot of stuff there, mythology that you could do all kinds of things with. So, but you kind of have to be a little bold, you know, you know, because you kind of have to, you know, have the spirit, get the spirit of the first one, just kind of like just taking chances. And so, you know, we had a plan for a bunch of like, you know, mostly like period pieces. Like we wanted to go back and do stuff, the origin with the witch and all that stuff that happened. And we pitched it a couple of times to them. But they, you know, it didn't happen. But you know, yeah, I hope, you know, so anytime I'd be, you know, they want me back, or they want any of us back, I think we would come back and, you know, at least help. But you know, it's like, I'd love to do it. But I'm not, you know, I'm not holding my breath either, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. I got to ask, I don't know if you can answer this. I don't know why you couldn't, but this movie was announced as The Woods like a year ago, at least. Yeah. So I've been looking forward to Simon Barrett's and Adam Winger's The Woods for months and months and months. Way, way later was it announced that it would be The Blair Witch. How long ago were you able to know about this film being Blair Witch versus just something called The Woods?
I seem to remember last time we talked to you, you said there was something you were working on you couldn't tell us about.
Was that right?
Well, I don't know what the hell I told you. Yeah, man. I mean, that was the hardest thing because, like, every time I did an interview, you know, with guys like you, you know, anybody, they'd be like, hey, what's going on with, you know, another Blair Witch movie? And I'd have to lie the last, I guess, year and a half or so. But yeah, you know, we knew about it pretty early on. You know, I think the you know, Lionsgate did a good job of keeping us kind of in the loop. And they, you know, and they own it. So it's like, it's not like they have to come to us. You know, they didn't have to involve us at all. But I think it was cool, and you know, it was for what it was, you know, where it's a sequel, you know, 17 years later or whatever, it went pretty smoothly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, obviously you said they didn't have to come, you know, involve you, but you were. So what was your involvement on the making of this one? Like, what did you get to do?
I mostly just kind of get, you know, really, man, most of the work just came in internally of like, you know, getting ready to hand this thing over.
Yeah. So you were like the George Lucas, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because, you know, it's like, it just, you know, it's like it's hard giving your kids away. It just is, no matter who you're giving, even if you trust them, you know, completely. And I did trust these guys, and I was excited. You know, I was excited to see what they were going to do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I knew it was a good decision, but still, you kind of have to deal with it yourself. So that was most of the stuff I did, just kind of trying to get my head around another Blair Witch movie. Mm-hmm. You know, not being, you know, not involving any of us, you know, as far as writing or directing. But once that happened, I mean, you know, like we said, it's like it we kind of we thought, okay, if we got called in and we wanted to, you know, we knew some, you know, we knew these filmmakers and we were trying to remake their film, we would like just want their blessings, but yeah, really sure. we would for want sure, to be yeah. left alone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So and that's the whole thing is like I knew, you know, just talking to us, I just didn't want to push them one way or the other. You know, I want them to have as much freedom as possible. And Simon and Adam are very, you know, they're very, how do you say in American? They're very sensitive. They really are. Yeah, I mean that's you know they are, you know, that's what we, you know, I love about them is that they are, you know, very aware of what was going on, and they never, you know, they just treated it with respect, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every time, you know what I mean? So I wasn't worried about that. I was just, you know, kind of worried about, you know, my feelings toward it. But so we just kind of left them alone. I mean, they sent us the script and we gave them a few notes, mythology notes, this and that. But by that time it was already beat out and we were like, yeah, that's a pretty fun movie. And, you know, at that point, I was like, okay, you know, they just, you know, if they just executed even half as well as anything, any of other Adam's other films were
right,
good shape.
Right, yeah.
And it was, you know, it turned out really well.
I'm glad to hear you talk about the mythology a lot because mm-hmm. that was one of the things that
for
was
sure,
really open-ended
yeah,
in the yeah. first movie, right? Everybody has their own theories about, I guess, what the killer was.
Especially the ending, too, is left
exactly.
really open-ended.
And in this movie, one of the things that I think I took away the most was the fact that we got to flesh that out, you know? And I'm actually excited to hear you talk about there could be other movies in the works.
Yeah,
about,
for sure.
Because the mythology of it is very interesting and very open, so you could do whatever you want with that. But in this movie, there's a lot of explaining kind of where the figures come from, right? Like where those came to be and how they relate to our, I guess, our witch. I think it's pretty concrete in this movie. There's some kind of like, you know, spiritual element in there, but I'm glad they got to do a lot of that. And I think that was probably one of my favorite things I took away from this is I got to see what was going on and they didn't. A lot of sequels trample on the first movies, like they maybe throw things out or they introduce new things that don't work. But I think that they respected that. And it built
it's definitely
on
part
it.
Of the legacy. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Because I think that would be sad if they didn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what, you know, once we read the script, and you know, and I even, you know, just after talking to Simon, you know, about what he was writing and stuff, you know, we knew it was going to be, you know, we knew he was going to become a Blair Witch expert, and he was going to be, you know,
he did,
totally
right?
behind
I
what we had,
shows.
You know,
yeah.
done before, you know. So yeah, you know, we just had, you know, confidence in them and you know, and yeah, absolutely, man. But my thing is like, you know, like Book of Shadows is always kind of this weird thing because, you know, it's just a weird movie for me. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I didn't think it was a great movie, but I think that, you know, it was just a weird situation, you know what I mean? But,
right.
but Book of Shadows, and that's a whole different podcast.
right.
But Book of Shadows didn't exist in the Blair Witch world, at least the Blair Witch world that, you know, Dan and Greg and I
for sure, yeah.
Created, you know, and all the Haxan guys created, Ben mm-hmm. and everybody. And so, you know, this is really the first sequel to the Blair Witch Project mm-hmm. in my opinion.
That's how it feels.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it cool, and you know, and yeah, and I like that, you know, they expanded some things.
Oh yeah.
But you know, they just kind of pushed things in interesting directions. But the thing about it, and I think Simon understood, they both understood this very clearly, is that in the Blair Witch world, like nothing is concrete. You know, you
yeah,
think
definitely.
Works. The theory that works now is like, nah, that had nothing to do with anything. That was just that. This thing that lives in the woods, that, you know, this entity that is in this area is like, there's no rhyme or reason to this thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane in a way that we will never understand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and for us, that was the whole thing, is that don't explain what it is. Keep it mysterious mm-hmm. and keep, even to us. You know, like, don't, you know, because like the best things are, you know, in a movie, there's nothing worse than like knowing too much information and
oh,
the mystery is gone.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, you know, I don't care, you know,
especially in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in a horror movie. So, yeah, for us, it was just, you know, just keep it, you know, push it in whatever direction you want, But I love how they just kept, they still kept it in the Blair Witch bubble. You know what I mean?
Definitely, definitely. And on that note, I was going to ask you, I mean, I don't know if this is too much of a spoiler for our listeners, but I think we're going to do this, you know, with spoilers just because there's a lot to talk about here.
Sure.
But in this, they make a conscious effort of showing the witch itself, like as a creature. Was she what you envisioned kind of when you had put this together the first time around?
No. You know, but like, really, like, you know, like the we never like envisioned other than like what Mary Brown said in the first movie.
Definitely. It comes to mind with the hairy
and that's like animal and has like, you know, hair. I mean, just something like really wrong. And for us, we always thought that the Blair Witch changes form, you know,
based on it at will
and, you know, whatever. There's no rules, you know, so. The way it appeared to Mary Brown is not the way it appeared to the kids, you know, Josh, Mike, and Heather, and and, you know, to the other people in the mythology. So, yeah, I thought it was a great, you know, whatever it was, it was creepy.
it looks so fucking scary looking.
Yeah, and you didn't know what the hell it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, that's all you wanted from that. You know what I mean? That's all you needed. You know,
absolutely.
So. You know, it wasn't like it came out and fought somebody and, you know, lasers coming out of its fingertips or whatever, you know, it was just barely there, you know? So, and if you weren't paying attention, you barely, you know, you maybe saw it once or twice,
exactly.
So
I think last time we were,
that was great.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of a topic we brought up last time when we talked to you, excuse me. There was a film that I don't think had come out yet called The Witch by Robert Eggers.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned that that's kind of where you would have envisioned like the history of the Blair Witch kind of looking like in a film. Did you end up getting around to seeing the movie The Witch?
I did see it and I really loved it.
Yeah, right?
I mean, for me, it was like, it's as close as I've seen. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, because there's always differences, but the tone was great.
Oh, yeah.
But just the idea of like making something that, you know, where you don't have to worry about doing it, you know, telling a horror story where you don't have to worry about cell phones or or planes or even rescue helicopters or nothing. You can't depend on anything, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, that was always like a great setting for for a horror movie, and the Blair Witch prequel is not the only idea that I have, I've been working on a couple of different ideas for like just period horror around that time. You know, I just think it's like, you know, if you do it right, it's just so creepy, and you don't and it's just something new. It's just not. It's not.
Yeah,
you know,
not much of it.
Teenagers, you know, getting lost and, you know, getting attacked by stuff. You know what I mean? It's like it's just real unique. You know, so I think that's what I love about it.
I think the thing I liked most about The Witch was like the pure isolation. Like you're saying, there's no modern convenience or anything. So they're just out there just trying to grow some shitty crops, and they're just really failing.
Like multiple elements of horror there. We're worried about a witch, sure, but we're worried about if they have enough food and enough fire.
I know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like it's so easy to fuck with them. Saying like, you know, just like, all right, I'm gonna sneak in at night and cut all their vegetables down. You know? That's it, dude. I killed them this winter.
Oh my god, like, we can't eat.
There's a good chance that they'll die this winter. You know,
that's so horrible.
It's like, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's just they're just. I mean, but the thing about it is that these characters are. You can make such like really strong characters because even the little kids had to be fucking. Really, really strong.
The acting in the movie.
There's no messing around as a kid in those days, man.
Yeah.
I guess he was commenting on the actual like characters had to be strong characters.
Yeah, that's right.
But the acting was also pretty.
Yeah,
incredible.
I thought we were going.
And I feel like to some degree you did that in the first Blair Witch too, and quite literally like the way that you shot it with kind of leaving them to their own devices. So I'd like to see what would happen to some 17th century motherfuckers.
We can bring it back to the first Blair Witch because there are elements of horror in that are similar to what we just talked about. I remember the first very scary moment for me, for some reason, was when they ran out of cigarettes because it was just a very real. It was like a very real thing that they were starting to freak out about. They were like, "We have no more goddamn cigarettes," and it's just such a very normal thing. But in that moment, like that was a comfort for them. Like they're lost in the woods. They know they might not get back, but having a cigarette would like kind of calm them down.
Yeah.
So like these little things and this slow descension into madness is what really kind of spooked me.
Yeah. Well, and it was great that they all smoked, you know? I mean, I guess, you know.
Made it fit, yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
those were real cigarettes?
Actors from New York, probably, you know, it seems like most of them smoked
yeah.
for one reason or the other. But, yeah, it was just, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about that first movie is that, you know, it's just filled with so many, you know, they filled with so many little moments that the actors, you know, created.
Right.
And just improvised, you know what I mean? Just these little, because we knew that, you know, the dialogue had to be improvised, whatever they talked about or their little struggles or, you know, whatever. Right. And I think that, I don't know if the cigarette beat was like an actual beat or they just kind of came up with it on their own. But it was that's what was cool about, you know, editing the film is that you'd they'd be following your story. You'd be like, wow, they're actually kind of doing what we want them to do. But then in between, you'd be like, wow, that that's cool. So that was, it was very much like a collaboration between us and the actors, you know.
Well, that was one thing that when we originally talked, that was one of the most like mind-blowing things is that you talked about how this movie actually got made, right? And it was very impromptu, very off the cuff. And like the actors themselves weren't even prepared going into shooting each day. And I think that to me, that's one of the things that sells the original as being so strong. And so when we were walking out of the theater for this recent one, we were talking about this movie definitely has a director edge. Whereas the very first one, like, you know, Sanchez was like so like transparent in the movie that you never were conscious that it was being directed the whole time. So I mean what do you think about I'm sure this movie was much more traditionally made. We're talking about the latest Blair Witch. How do you feel about it? I mean
you know, the thing about Blair Witch was that, you know, it was like for us there was like nothing had ever been done like that. We had never seen Cannibal Holocaust,
right?
Dan and I had none of the team even knew about it until after Sundance, and you know, we were like, man, if I had seen this movie when I was a teenager, I wouldn't have done Blair Witch, because I would have been like, nah, dude, they already did that. It's called Cannibal Holocaust, you didn't see it, you know.
I'm so glad you didn't.
Yeah, so we were really happy that we hadn't seen it, and then we watched it, and we were still and we even unhappier that we had seen it, because it's a really cool movie, like the concept, but you know, they mutilate animals on it. It's just something wrong.
We've been putting off watching.
Yeah,
that
we
for the
still
same
haven't
reason.
For
yeah,
that very.
We're
reason.
Just like,
yeah, it's just not right, man. No. You know, and what was the.
Well, just in general, the fact that, I mean, you're kind of directing directing.
Yeah. So Blair Witch came from that world, from the idea that like this had to be completely, you know, 100% real. Uh-huh. And it was like an experiment. And our whole thing was like, everything has to look real. Like, we can't have any lighting that isn't real. We can't have any sound effects. I mean, we can add it later, but, you know, we're not going to put like a spaceship, you know what I'm saying, or growling and then not have a monster or something. You know, we wanted to keep it like rooted in reality, you know what I mean, and just kind of put these freaky little things out there, like little kids' voices in the woods, you know, playing in the middle of the woods at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, just creepy stuff like that.
I mean, I think that one of the things that works about that is that the movie doesn't have to explain itself in any way. Like, it's just organic.
But for me, the Blair Witch was the first, you know, kind of the first thing that started. And then, you know, you get to a point where it's like, it becomes a style of movie, you know what I mean? And I think that, like, we learned that, and that's why I think it took us so long to get back into found footage when we did Exist and we did, you know, Ride in the Park and VHS too. You know, Ride in the Park is a much different film than Blair Witch Project, definitely. But it's still found footage. So, you know, for us, it was like, you know, the style of found footage has evolved.
It has.
You could definitely go back and do something like Blair Witch, but I'm just wondering if in this age would it work at all?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So what do you think?
You know, I think Adam just kind of took the found footage and a lot of stuff that he learned probably on, you know, that he saw on VHS too, and just VHS movies in general, and just kind of, you know, turned, like I said, he took our film and just turned it up to 11, added drones and, you know, little, you know, cameras on the ears, like POV cameras, and just went nuts. And that's what I loved about it, you know?
So what do you think about like the direction that found footage is heading in now? Like, what do you think is the future of found footage?
Because like it or not, it's basically your baby.
Yeah. You did this to us.
My bastard child. No, you know, I mean, I think when, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think when Dan and the Hacks and guys were, and I were doing the Blair Witch, we had no idea what, you know, we knew that we were like, man, you could do this style with a, you know, comedy, which is what, you know, Spinal Tap had already done. You know? So, you know, it wasn't like that was new. But we were like, man, you could do, you know, crime movies, you could do all kinds of weird, you know, zombie movies, you could do all kinds of stuff in this style. So, you know, it just seems like, yeah, I don't know where it's going. You know, it's like so we started that. So it's very hard for me to, like, you know, see where it goes. I don't know. It's just difficult. But I think it's just going to get, you know, I think there's this love-hate relationship, you know, with our fans with found footage. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know. You know, it's still, I think it's still viable. You know, you just got to find something new to say, you know, or a new way to do it. You know, you just got to keep pushing it, and that's what I find cool, because, you know, somebody's gonna, you know, somebody, some 13-year-old or 14-year-old kid might be shooting the next, you know, great found footage to be out there, you know. So, you know, we'll see what happens. That's what I love of, like, Paranormal Activity also, you know. And a lot of you know, there's a lot of really great found footage movies, you know.
Absolutely,
and
so,
you know, it's cool that I, you know, that Dan and then the other guys, that we inspired that. And, you know, that's like the greatest compliment once, you know, you kind of inspire another artist to do something great. You know, that's amazing for us.
That's we're talking about technology a lot. And that's kind of the irony for me, is that I think, to me, like, a good found footage movie is like spinning that disbelief, right? Yeah. Not having to constantly be worrying about, like, how the shot was made or whatever.
Why they're filming.
And that's the irony, is that as we progress further and further with technology, like, we have cameras, you know, everywhere, is that it's almost harder and harder to do this kind of, like, this genre well.
Yeah.
Like, I know that it can be done, and it definitely has been, but it's just, it's becoming more difficult because we're constantly connected with, like, weird phones and stuff, and we have cameras everywhere.
It's harder to explain it away.
We're going to have cameras in our butts here in no time. We can see everything.
Yeah. I already have one on my butt.
Wait, you mean that's not the one we're watching right now?
He doesn't want to explain it. Don't ask.
I got the wrong camera switch.
Literally. That was something that I really liked.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, it's a weird thing, because it's like, it's almost like the whole, you know, our social media will eventually be a found footage movie, you know.
It already is. Unfriended.
You can go on anybody, and, you know, it's just crazy. You know? So
I got a really important question, and that's, have you grown your beard since we last saw you?
No, it's shorter. I can tell you.
No, dude, it's shorter, man.
Yeah, you got to talk to the beard guy as a cast, man.
Oh, the beard guy. I'm sorry.
I didn't want to talk beard because I'm outmatched.
Well, you know.
I just got to.
That's the only thing I've got in my life, Sam.
It's this beard.
I got to hold my head down in shame, man. No, you know, I was looking like, I mean, I still look like a homeless person, but I was looking like a real homeless person for a little while there.
Yeah.
And I had to go to a funeral. And I was like, I'm not gonna go and look like a homeless person at this person's feet.
Yeah, you know? Gotcha.
So I shaved it, and, you know,
that's,
it was
understandable.
The right thing to do.
It was.
But now, you know, I don't know. I'm just thinking of shaving it, but I kind of
don't do
if
it.
If you got it, flaunt it. Might as well.
I don't know.
Speaking as one who doesn't got it.
It's that salt and pepper. It's just right, man. You got to keep it.
Dude,
going.
The girls get fired up about that salt and pepper beard, dude.
They love it, man. All the girls, I've been married for so long, man. No, but yeah, the chicks dig it, man. Yeah. I see them looking at the.
So, man, why are you striking out?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
All right, I'm gonna try to derail this one real quick and go into a different kind of territory.
Different beards, right?
No, different styles.
Oh, okay.
No facial hair talk. But I do want to stay on the topic of movies on a very, very broad level, and I want to ask you what you've seen recently. If there's any films that have stood out to you in the past 6 to 8 months, horror or otherwise, that you've seen, or ones that you're looking forward to.
That's a tough question, man, because I've mostly been watching television.
What do you watch?
What I really loved was, you know, the thing that everybody loves, Stranger Things.
Yeah, man.
It's cool. And it was, you know, I know the little girl that played 11, so.
Nice.
Oh, do you really?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I worked on her on a show called Intruders, which she was only 10 years old, and her performance is just as good as.
Wow.
Damn.
She's girl is insane.
She's so good.
She's freaking crazy. But I love her, and we've kept in touch. So it was just cool to see, you know, the show blow up, and her kind of blow up as one of the stars, awesome, or whatever. But that was cool. But man, mostly lately I've been just like, you know, just Summer with the Kids, which is a movie of its own, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I haven't seen, you know, I saw The Green Room.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen it yet. So don't spoil it.
Yeah, man. I love that.
Yeah, that was great. That's a good one. The Green
Room. Yeah. I love like just little contained thrillers like that. Done like that, man. Yeah. What have you guys seen?
I don't know. That's a good question.
We've been watching so many goddamn movies. It's so hard to keep track of. I was just realizing because like our 100th episode was with the last one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It means we've watched at least 300 movies for this fucking podcast.
More than 300, yeah.
We've been looking forward to one called Don't Breathe by, I guess, Fede Alvarez, the guy who did the Evil Dead remake in the past few years.
That wouldn't surprise me. I was not expecting that.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah. Did you guys see it?
I haven't seen it yet. No, we haven't seen it yet. Have you?
I haven't seen it either. I'm here in Vancouver and I'm working, so I have time to go see movies. And I've been wanting to see it, but I'm like, maybe I don't want to come back to my damn apartment by myself after watching that shit. So I've been kind of tapping the brakes on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, it's been getting great.
I know you're looking forward to fucking Star Wars. Was it Rogue One?
Oh, Rogue One.
Oh, man, I saw the new trailer the other day. I went to see Suicide Squad finally.
Shit. Oh, how was that?
Did you guys see it?
No, I've heard mixed.
I've heard very mixed things, so I've been
a little scared.
Dude, I don't know, man. It's just, there's something off about the whole DC.
All of DC stuff.
Batman versus Superman was just rough.
I tried to watch Batman versus Superman on a plane twice, and I just like, I'll tell you what happened.
And honestly, Ben Affleck as Batman
is not bad. He's fucking great. No, he's good.
It's just that Superman, like you appreciate the amazing job that Christopher Reeve did.
He's just joyless in these ones. He's just pouting all the time.
Yeah, he's like a rock.
Yeah,
and that's how Batman should be, which is fine. But you have Superman; he shouldn't really be like
you can't.
That.
You can't contrast Grimm with Grimm. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So grimdark.
Yeah. So they gotta find. You know, that's what I think Christopher Reeve found is that you know, because that's the character of Superman. You got to find some kind of comedic or something, you know, something to sprinkle in there. It can't be like you guys were saying, so doom and gloom. You know?
I think that movie, I've heard so many people talk about it and they just sound so depressed. I'm not ready for that.
I'll say this. I watched it on the plane. I fell asleep and I woke up right when they started their big fight and it was amazing. I loved the fight and I went back to sleep. So you've got all that you need out of that movie. Yeah.
So for man, it's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you need to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Rogue One, back to that.
I was going
to
say, because I haven't seen this trailer.
The trailer looked awesome, man. I've been avoiding it online because I want to see it in the sound system. It looks cool, man. I mean, my thing, man, is that like I was watching, I'm like, you know, you could basically just play that music.
Yeah.
Put montages of even the Star Wars fan films, like the good shots. You'd be like, oh, I gotta see that.
And everybody's gonna eat it up,
TIE Fighters.
Well, I mean, proven point, the fucking prequels. Like, I went to see all of them because I kept playing the music.
There you go.
Yeah, but at the same time, man, it's like, you know, you have to, not to like, you know, start on the prequels thing, but you know, you have to hand it to Lucas that he started from scratch.
Yeah.
Like he didn't, you know, like only, you know, he had like the Darth Maul ship. Remember, had like a little bit of the Darth Vader wings.
Mm-hmm.
So he hinted at the other stuff, but just watching the Death Star and Star Destroyers. And I mean, come on.
I mean,
AT-ATs, like shooting that bazooka.
I'll eat it up. I don't care.
Like having the giant AT-ATs, which I think comes from Gareth Edwards, who of course did Godzilla before this.
Oh, really?
And he also did Monsters. I don't know if you guys have seen Monsters.
Monsters is really good.
But, and I liked Godzilla too. I thought it was pretty good.
Godzilla was, I mean, you know.
I'm a Godzilla fanboy, so I'm biased.
Don't make fun of it on the show.
I liked it, but it was just I think it was just flawed in the.
Oh, yeah. It's flawed.
Everybody, you guys all saw it, right?
Yeah. Not crazy about it.
Yeah, like when you kill the main character, who you think is going to be the main character,
and leave grown ass kick ass. It's.
Well, he was just such a boring character to have. Yeah, the kid was.
Well, and also it's
Bryan Cranston's great.
You get Bryan Cranston pulled away from you, you know, the first act.
I want more.
Dude, I'm done. I can't stick around.
I understand, man. I get it.
I'm trying to keep my expectations.
No, but I thought his first film was really great. And, yeah. I'm looking forward to this, man.
I'm just excited to see, you know, somebody else take a property in a different direction. Similar to what's happening with Blair Witch here, it's neat to see somebody hand off their baby to just about anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, that's the great thing about it is that now, you know, they got the first one out of the way, which was, you know, a little bit too rehashy of the old movies for me. But now they're getting into new territory. And I just hope, can't wait till they get, you know, away from the Death Star. Like, I want to see a movie where the Death Star doesn't play a part.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes me sad about this.
There's literally only one of them that doesn't besides the prequels, and that's Empire.
When they announced they were doing the spinoff, I was like, yes, we can do everything in the Star Wars. We can literally do anything in the Star Wars universe. It's going to be so sick.
Somebody in the writer's room was just like, hey, but what about a Death Star?
But you know what, dude? This one doesn't have a fucking Death Star. Let's put it in there. I'm like, I'm sure it's going to be great, but I'm like, can we just talk about something other than Death Star for a fucking Star Wars movie?
Well, I guess it can't, because they, you know, they never, does the Death Star become operational in this movie?
No,
I'm sure it will. We're gonna blow it up, and they're gonna rebuild
that damn Death Star, man. No matter this, they're gonna be a Death Star shot. That's the money shot in the Star Wars movies. You gotta have a Death Star shoot some stuff.
I guess so.
That's just just, you know, like box office wise, the more Death Star shots, the more money you make.
No, dude, man. Don't even put the idea in their head. The next one's gonna have three Death Stars. Like, you know what?
We're gonna shoot at the same time.
We're gonna get 3 billion this time.
It's actually
maybe
the
three
galaxy
Death
of Death Star with a giant Death Star black hole in the middle.
Honestly, that'd be kind of tight.
I like to think that there were people who left.
The next one should just be the rebels build their own Death Star.
Just
and
shoot
it's
back.
A battle
they just
of
shoot
Death
back
Star.
And forth.
They call
like
the Red
kaiju,
Star
like a kaiju movie, that, but two battles.
That's what
Death
we
want to
see.
Yeah, there we go.
Just shooting
just
at each other.
Just a fleet
back
of Death
forth.
Stars.
I'm feeling sick just talking about this. I'm like, the Star Wars universe has so much cool stuff in it.
We talked about that last time. We talked about 7, and I think if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned that you were a little disappointed in that, and that, you know, they had this new Death Star and it got blown up.
Are we gonna rehash the episode after talking about the Star Wars?
I want to know if you've come around to it a little bit, or if you're still kind of mixed on the 7th one.
No, I'm still mixed. I mean, I mean, look, man, I love it, and I do love like the new characters. Yeah. I think are cool. Like, I love I collect the. You know, some of the toys and stuff. And I love the Legos and displaying all the little figures like a freaking idiot.
Dude, join the club.
So I love all that stuff. But yeah, I just felt like like they had us and they were like, let's not give them the whole, let's just give them the same thing and sprinkle in some new.
Played it
you
safe.
Know, and it was just kind of like, and then they're like, well, you know, we're going to reintroduce it to the new audience. Yeah. Like, well, I'm pretty sure that the new, Star Wars movies are pretty much the most rewatched movies in the history of cinema.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My kids have seen the Star Wars movies more than I have at this point. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But yeah, so like what we talked about earlier, like, I'm glad they're moving forward. I'm glad. I just want to see a Death Starless damn move Star Wars movie.
I think the next one might be, because when we were talking about
it's Star Wars Episode 8, There Is No Death Star,
dude. That would
title? But the twist,
dude,
at the ending is that there's
a Death Star.
That would get me
that's the twist, yeah.
And all the background shots are just the Death Star just floating around.
What if they just sneak in a little tiny Death Star, though? It's like the size of a baseball,
the
like
Death Star
a
plans.
Little mini Death Star mini.
God damn you.
No, I think the next one's gonna be more adventurous, because I think this one was just like, you know, let's get the box offices warmed up, and I think the next one will be pretty explosive.
They're testing the waters on some really interesting stuff. It's cool to see a heist movie in the Star Wars universe. That's fucking tight.
That's what you mentioned. It's a fucking Star Wars heist movie, and I was like, that's dope.
I want more of that.
I would love more spinoffs. Just like, give me anything, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, they're coming whether you want them or not.
I wish they would. I think with the judging by the Marvel universe, they'll start to do the TV shows and maybe some, you know, because I love the way that, you know, everything is kind of connected. I think they do some really cool stuff, man.
Yeah.
Who's doing the Boba Fett one? Has that been announced yet?
I don't think so. The Han Solo one's been cast, but...
Han Solo's been cast, and
there's
a
movie
for
each character?
Yeah.
Oh, this is news to me.
Not each character, but they're doing it for a couple of them.
I think that, it's Donald Glover. Is that not Donald Glover? That's not right.
Nope.
Who's the guy who would play... Who's been rumored for Lando Calrissian, young Lando.
Oh, yeah, it's Donald Glover. Yeah, he's rumored Donald Glover. I don't know if that's been cast yet.
Not for Han Solo.
That's going to be hot.
But
they're really trying new things.
They're turning Han black.
Race Bendit, who cares?
They're really trying some new things.
Yeah.
They're trying some new things, man. Yeah.
It cracks me up that Boba Fett is like this prolific character, and he was in the movie for like 20 seconds and then just died. Yeah.
It's because he's the coolest toy.
He looks cool as shit, yeah.
He was the coolest action figure.
That's it. There you go.
The key.
It's so funny though. You make the movie and you're like, okay, let's make some action figures. And they're like, what should we make? And they're like, we definitely need to do Boba Fett. But they're like, he was in the movie for 20 seconds.
Like, kids love jetpacks.
That's true, actually.
No, man, but Boba Fett was he made his debut in the holiday special.
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
Jesus.
And the cartoon.
That thing is embarrassing.
I'm trying to repress that. I watched it.
Yeah, well, the cartoon's not bad.
The droids one's all right.
Yeah. But the Boba Fett cartoon is actually kind of cool. Yeah.
Did we get that far, man? We were watching that recently.
I don't know.
What's the cartoon?
There were a couple of them at the time.
Yeah,
it's a Boba Fett cartoon.
Yeah.
Like just a little short, like 5-minute Boba Fett cartoon in the holiday special.
Wow. Like they just knew that he was going to be something special. I don't know.
I think the designers loved doing them, building the character, you know.
So speaking of all these action figures and stuff, do you have any other hobbies that you're into? Anything else that you're into besides filmmaking?
I like to drink a little bit.
Yeah,
cool.
So do we.
Yeah.
I was gonna bring up
just hang with my friends and I collect soundtracks too.
Oh, sweet.
Cool.
Yeah, I just found some freaking crazy ones here, man.
What you got?
Like, look at this. I got the Handmaid's Tale.
What?
What the fuck?
Yeah, what is that?
That's sexy, baby.
So wait, you don't even know what it is.
Put it on, dude.
Let's hear it.
This is like a porno.
Okay.
What is that called?
What's it read?
The Devil in Miss Jones. Devil in Miss Jones, literally.
Yeah, in Miss Jones.
Oh, I'm assuming the devil is the male actor.
Oh, I get it.
It was like a high-end porno back. I was like, okay. Jesus. Yeah, look at the back cover. Oh, I'm not going to show you that.
It must be high-end because they actually had to produce the actual soundtrack for it. Yeah. So there you go.
Look at this one, man. This is the one. Let me take it out of this.
He's handling it so delicately.
What the fuck? All-Star McLean's... What the fuck?
Fear is the key.
Fear is the key.
Fear is the key.
That looks batshit.
Good lord.
Somebody put a soundtrack together for that thing.
Oh, wow.
When you said you collected soundtracks, I was like, cool, he's probably got some Star Wars ones, some pretty big films.
Just deep cuts. Nothing but deep cuts.
I like the big ones, the Hollywood movies too, but the deep ones are the ones, hard to find ones.
We just got a Candyman soundtrack, right?
Yeah,
I was going to bring that up because I always find a way to sneak that one in. But
talk about Candyman in every fucking episode.
It's like my favorite soundtrack is the Candyman soundtrack from the 90s, and I just got the vinyl of it. So I'm gonna start kind of collecting vinyls for these kind of films. That's pretty dope. Do you have any vinyls?
I don't think I have that one.
Oh really? Oh, it's so good. It's Philip Glass.
Highly recommended.
Insanely good.
Real good. But I got the vinyl of it. I'm sure it's on CD and stuff too.
Oh, I collect vinyl only.
Whatever, dude. It's like the only one I have.
Coming from Dylan. Vinyl.
No, Dylan does a little bit.
Yeah, I do a lot.
Okay,
Dylan, I just got
I was just making fun of you because I was insecure. It's my fault.
No, Dylan, I just got the Twin Peaks vinyl.
Oh, did you?
Oh, really?
Ooh, awesome. I just got the Twin Peaks vinyl. What, man?
Hey, back to liking to drink a lot.
Let's talk about that.
What's your drink of choice, buddy?
Oh, dude, I had like a, I just drank a lot in my earlier days.
Yeah.
So I kind of poisoned myself against, like, I get like a, kind of like a, I get repulsed by most alcohol, so I basically go for like the lightest beer I can find anywhere. But my beer of choice is Corona Light.
No shit, Corona Light. Yeah, do you have a lime in there?
It just tastes as little like beer as possible. That's what I like about it. It's cold and tastes very little like beer.
That's all you need, man.
We're from Kentucky here, so we drink a lot of bourbon around here. Do you not do any liquor at all then?
No, I mean, just very small bits of it. But no, man, dude, it makes me sick pretty much immediately. Anything hard doesn't do well with me.
I thought you were saying Kentucky makes you sick, and I was like, no way.
Kentucky makes me sick also, yeah.
Most people say that.
No, actually, my partner Greg is from Kentucky. Man.
Oh, for real?
You guys should interview him, man. He's full of knowledge.
Where's he from? Exactly, do you know?
He was Henderson, Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where his parents live now. I think where he grew up, or his mom still lives there. But yeah.
You say he lives here, or is he from here?
No, he he lives in Portland now. He grew up there.
Gotcha. What's he up to now?
He
right this moment.
Now we're just messing with you. What's he up to?
What's he up to? I don't know, man. You know, you should call him and bug him. No, we're doing a bunch of stuff, man. We're trying to get, we have a pilot that we just finished for Starz. That we're, a pilot script that we're like waiting to see if we get picked up for the season. We did it. We partnered up. It was me, Greg, and Alejandro Brujes, the guy who did Juan of the Dead.
Have you
guys seen Juan of the Dead?
I've heard of it. No. I have not seen it.
Dude, you guys track it down. It's on iTunes.
But it's great.
Get it. That thing is awesome. Anyway, we hooked up. We partnered with him, and we did this pilot for a pilot script. So we'll see if it happens. But it would be great, man. We'd be shooting a TV show in Cuba.
Holy
which would
shit.
Be pretty,
cool.
Pretty cool.
That's a good location.
Is there anything you can drop on like what it might be about or anything at all?
It's about a Cuban voodoo called how familiar you guys are with Santeria.
Yeah.
But it's basically like the voodoo, you know, the version of voodoo, and it's very it's like a real religion there, man. So we're trying to make it creepy and cool and realistic and stuff, and also just kind of like not and really go down the right, you know, don't insult Santeria, like treat it with respect, totally. You know, as a religion, you know what I mean? So
is this, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this your first TV spec?
No, after Blair Witch, we did a couple of shows, and we just got our asses kicked with TV, man. But that was a different time.
Yeah, yeah. Beast too, yeah.
Now, like, TV is the place to be, really. Like, absolutely. You know, back then, you know, I mean, HBO was already doing good stuff, but you know, they were pretty much it, you know. And I think now, you know, everybody's doing good stuff, but especially, you know, HBO and Starz and
even
Showtime
Netflix
and Amazon, they're all like, you know, they're all taking chances, man.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's not happening on the feature side. It seems like they're releasing the same movies over and over again. And so, you know, it's like there's just so much more opportunity for, you know, for new things on television than there are in film right now. So
Starz would be a good program to get on too,
sure.
Because you would have a lot more leeway of what you want to get in there and stuff. You could be more gruesome.
That's what you need. Yeah.
You know, what are you asking me? Is there going to be some sex in this show?
Is there
going to
be some weird sex?
Devin is our sex addict of the podcast. Absolutely.
Asking me, man? Just go ahead and ask me.
Well, you just showed us soundtracks to like three different porns.
What kind of weird sex
he's good for?
Here.
Some voodoo
How
porn,
weird.
Baby.
No,
it's gonna be good, man. It's definitely. I mean, you know, it's definitely gonna be an adult show.
Yeah.
So.
That's gonna be exciting because we were just talking about like we've watched a lot of movies that take place all over the U.S. and we've never really seen a good voodoo horror. Like
they're surprisingly few and far between.
Voodoo is so cool too.
It's out there, but like nobody really makes it scary. Nobody really takes it seriously.
Yeah, I know. It's tough to do right, but we have a couple of voodoo like sort of projects that we're working on. This one hopefully Starz picks it up and we get rolling on it. Man, I'd be really happy with that.
Tell me to put a curse on them if they don't. I actually
we've told them that already. So.
That was the elevator pitch. They're just like, dude.
Okay, listen, guys, I'm gonna give you a question.
Minute, we just like threw water in their face, like rice, like brown rice or something. We're like, all right.
I'd be scared.
If you don't sign this, you're dead.
Well, so what got you into voodoo specifically? Why'd you pick that for your theme?
We wanted to do a show in Cuba, so we were like, well, what, you know, do we base it on? So it was kind of a no-brainer, like, you know, just the Santeria is like there's just so much history and so much tradition and just like really there's this weird thing there because like, you know, the African slaves came and, you know, the white guys were like, nah, man, you can't practice this African stuff or whatever. So eventually they learned, well, if we mix it with a little Christianity, let's do it, you know? So they really just snuck this religion in and kept it alive. And it's just, you know, that's the spirit of the religion, you know, it's a religion of like downtrodden people, you know, who were taken from their land. So there's a lot of like, you know, a lot of emotion and a lot of power in it.
Really
so,
rich lore to it.
So there's a lot of really dark stuff to explore, but there's also like, you know, a lot of good too. I mean, it's used for, for, you know, I guess evil purposes or whatever, but it's also good, you know, used to, for good things. So it, you know, we just want to kind of treat it with respect that, you know, the proper religion deserves.
That's
and,
awesome.
And just make it cool and creepy, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to witchcraft, honestly, kind of coming back full circle, as witchcraft is confused to be just only meticulous, nefarious, rather.
Yeah, for sure.
When really it has some very light roots to it.
It's supposed to provide hope. For
creating
people.
Medicine and hope and stuff like that. And I guess voodoo can be very similar in that way.
Yeah, fun anecdote, I don't know, but I actually read this recently that apparently the symbol for witches was actually like pulled from way back in the day, like breweries. Like women apparently brewed beer mostly in the home, and they would like have these large hats so they could find... So people could find them in the market so they could sell it. And they would use that huge broom, the end of a broom, to like stir the beer and stuff.
That's cool as shit.
Wow.
So cool. I was like, that is amazing. And now I just love witches. I
mean, like, now I'm down with it now, witches. Baby.
But it's funny to hear you.
The Blair Witch was like a brewmaster.
They were brewing your Corona for you, man. Now you.
Now.
Backwoods Corona.
Dude. For hundreds of years.
It's funny though, because you kept mentioning like respect there for the, you know, the practices and stuff, and I definitely feel that vibe in the movies we've watched from you, like you know, like Sasquatch, you know, like it was probably one of the best
absolutely.
One of the best interpretations of it, like that I've seen in a long time. And you know, Blair Witch, like there's this huge lore, but it isn't like, you know, oversteeped. And so I don't know, it's funny to hear you use that word
in alien type genre with altered so you kind of
respect
to
the aliens.
You respect the aliens.
I try to respect all the, you know, all the supernatural, all the cryptozoology beings. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
ghosts and everything. Yeah, and then, I'm doing a movie with Blumhouse, and I'm going to be taking on a different part of the... of the horror,
spooky culture,
you know, monsters, I guess you could say.
No shit. So we got aliens,
so.
We got witches, we've
got Sasquatch.
He's doing it.
What's
all?
The fourth
it's
one?
It's
gonna
be a Frankenstein. I'm feeling it. Is it a Frankenstein?
Is it a skeleton?
Universal monster.
I can't say.
Damn it!
It's vampires. I'm calling it now.
Damn it!
Ooh, it could be werewolves, vampires. Yeah. All right. We don't want to get too deep into that. If you can't take this,
don't get too deep, man.
Oh my God! Is that a sex joke?
Remember, man, we're gonna have plenty of sex.
Oh God.
You're selling it so well, man.
Stay tuned for that one.
This dude's already talked about cameras in his butt, though, so I know that he's down with some freaky stuff.
He's making our resident sex pun expert jealous over here. Bluester's usually the guy who says the word sex puns.
You're outmatched, my dude.
Oh, I'm just an amateur.
You're nothing compared to my perversion, man. No, yeah, man. No, there's definitely going to be some good sex, man.
All right.
God damn. All right. Now we're getting more excited about your new upcoming work.
Speaking of these soundtracks, though, so we're obviously going to use the Star Wars, like one of the Star Wars tracks for our music.
Because we have permission.
You should listen to your soundtracks for these porns and handpick one of the tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And send it to us, and we'll use it
on our
episode.
Send us, like, the title on Skype or something. We'll use
something
one
from The Devil and Miss Jones, yeah.
Can you imagine the title, dude? All
right, let me see the track listing.
Can you just stick it in your computer right now and play a track?
Just the whole thing from the top.
I don't have a CD player on my damn...
Are you serious?
Technology. God damn it.
Too fast.
You're going to have to rip it onto Napster for us.
All right, I'll find something. There's one called The Teacher.
All right, that's what we're going to do.
Google that right now, Nathan, and see if we can find it.
How would you find that?
I'll find it, don't
worry. Teacher soundtrack.
The Teacher from, what is it, The
Devil
in Miss
Jones. The Devil in Miss Jones.
Yes, sir, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, we need that. You're going
to music composed by Alden Schumann. I wonder what Alden Schumann is doing right now.
Oh, he's living
probably rolling in his grave.
God damn it.
He probably got my 10 cents royalty.
It's in the mail. It was a diamond in the mail.
He got so excited, he's like, I checked his show up. He's like, holy shit. Someone bought my soundtrack.
Holy shit, somebody bought that thing.
He like looks you up. He's like,
man, this is a valuable soundtrack, dude. You don't even know.
Well, we're gonna get it to listen to it. Our listeners are gonna hear it too.
Oh, yeah. Where do you find these bad boys?
I went to a record store, a CD store yesterday, here in Vancouver that I had never been to before. So
cool.
Wait, you're in Vancouver right now?
Yeah, filming.
This is another one I found. Look.
Oh, what is that?
Le Professionnel?
Yeah, man.
That's not Leon, is it? That.
Oh no, man! I don't know what the hell that
what
is.
What the fuck
I
is that?
Looked it up yet.
That'd be so funny if they just like redid the art for The Professional.
It just looks like it looks like somebody just redid the art of The Professional to look like Death Wish.
That's awesome.
It's fucking tight.
So
I'm looking forward to that.
I missed that you're in Vancouver right now. Instead, aren't you living in Maryland right now?
I do live in Maryland. I live like right, you know, in the actually I live in the same county where Burkittsville is.
Oh, cool.
So
oh nice.
Like, I haven't traveled far from, I haven't gotten far from home yet.
So you get haunted regularly.
All the time, man. But no, I'm in Vancouver doing a episode of Supernatural.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, a
actually,
lot of fun.
I have a friend here that does a podcast on Supernatural that's pretty popular from Louisville, Kentucky, but I've heard that show's pretty good.
It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fun show, man. It's there's a reason why it's lasted. I mean, they're on their 12th season.
God, I know they've been on
for a while. Holy crap.
So yeah, I think they're gonna try to do like 300 episodes is what the word around town.
We're never gonna last that long.
That's insane.
They're up to like 250 or something like that.
You should shoot for episode 269.
Really good. God damn it, man.
Come on.
I was wondering, you mentioned Burkittsville, but and I think you talked a little bit about this the first time we interviewed you, but specifically, like, what did it do for the tourism there? I imagine that right after Blair Witch, like, shit just had to blow up around there.
Dude, they hated us, man.
Is this that Blair Witch town?
Oh, people driving up.
I mean, you know, even when this one, when they finally said that this one was the Blair Witch and not the Woods, and, you know, that kind of wave, that news kind of hit Burkittsville. Yeah. Man, they reached out to like the Frederick Film Commissioner there, the guy who runs the film office, and was like, "Hey, what the hell's going on?" And he was like, "I don't know. They just announced it yesterday, you know." But yeah, they were really mad. They were kind of upset that there was another movie coming out. They were gonna like have. They were just gonna, you know, double the security and, or you know, they were gonna have the Frederick police was gonna go by there a little bit more this weekend. But
so Simon and Adam snuck it in as the Woods too. They're like, "Yeah, we're shooting the Woods."
Yeah, no, but no, they didn't shoot there, man. Oh, dude, believe me, they're never gonna let anybody shoot there.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
The thing about it is that it's this little town that is literally just like an intersection.
Right,
so, you know, it's a place they don't have any stores. They have nothing. Right. And so, you know, it's a place that you go to, like, basically to just be, you know, just be left alone, really.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. They don't give a shit about the movie.
So, yeah, they, you know, they don't like having visitors and stuff. And
not really any use for tourism, I guess.
They don't want tourism. I mean, I think that there was a few people who, like, when the first movie came out, they started selling, like, rocks from the cemetery.
Nice.
Or, you know,
these are Blair Witch rocks
from Burkittsville. Like,
so funny.
Know. But yeah, no, there's no. They don't want any tourism there.
Yeah,
it's so funny with like Area 51. You have like this, you know, all these people that have like shops just dedicated to selling
Roswell's
alien knickknacks and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's a whole industry.
This
man.
Could have easily become that. I guess it's funny that you know it's. I guess it's cool that they want to keep the town as is. They're like, don't change a thing.
I saw some
probably because there's a fucking witch there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe witch. So.
I saw
well,
some
yeah, they've all sold their soul to Satan. So.
We don't want anybody to find out.
Yeah, sorry to interject here, but I saw some pictures I thought that was with you and Simon and Adam Wingard recently. Were you doing some kind of like, conventions or something with the Woods and stuff with them?
We did like a traveling road show where we did like dancing and the singing.
Flea circus.
No, we were at Comic Con. They brought us out to Comic Con.
Sweet.
And they were, we just hung out and did a little press and signed some posters and stuff.
You got any stories about Adam or Simon or anything like that?
Dude, I mean, all you got to know is look at the beginning of VHS 2.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Simon's little cameo.
Yeah, wait.
Is he the fucking tongue dude?
No, he's the dude in the hotel room.
Oh,
fuck, that's right.
So
just look at go look at that scene one more time. No, they're good guys, man. No, they're good guys. I mean, just really smart and you know, and Simon's like such a student of like the genre of film in general, and you know he can tell you anything about pretty much any genre movie, but yeah, they're good guys, and I don't have any stories that I wouldn't be incriminating myself on, so
right.
I don't want to say it.
Sure.
But how do we see these videos though of you dancing?
Yeah,
this is what I'm intrigued by.
Who, me?
Yeah, absolutely. You just said you
song
went
and dance.
Him and I are always dancing. Yeah, somehow when Adam and I and Adam got together, we just want to dance.
I don't believe
it. I'm just kidding.
Have you been in contact with any of the other VHS collectives since you guys work together?
No. We're developing something with a couple of the producers. right now. And then, you know, I keep in touch a little bit with Jason, but no, everybody's all busy, man. But I'm, yeah. you know, keeping track of their work and stuff and what they're doing. But no, I haven't really, other than Simon and Adam, I haven't seen any of them since the, I guess Tribeca, which is, or South by Southwest or whatever, the last time we saw each other.
Yeah. I love the anthology, though, as like a platform to make films, though. And I'm sure it looked like you guys had a lot of fun with your ride in the park.
Which was a lot of fun segments. In general. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a great time. And it was, you know, it was kind of daunting for us because, you know, we were like, hadn't made a found footage movie since Blair Witch. And, you know, and these guys did this really cool first one VHS, which we, you know, we were fans of.
Yeah.
They asked us to come back on VHS too, and I'm like, we were like, man, we better do something good. We don't want to be like, oh, they put them in because of Blair Witch, but their segment, you know, sucked. So, but you know, so we were happy that you know, that all the I thought all the segments were pretty damn strong.
They all
were
really strong.
I think two is the strongest of the bunch.
Yeah, sure. Strongest. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the one that Timo did.
Unbelievable.
That one's like nuts, but. But you know, they just went all out and they shot in, they shoot in Thailand, right? Or
Indonesia.
Indonesia. Yeah. So, you know, they get a little bit more out of their, budget, but they're just really skilled, man. They're really skilled and very talented
guys.
Those
dudes are fucking
macabre
freaks.
And killers. We've been big fans of their work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also did a segment, and I was going to ask you about this in ABCs of Death. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever been approached about doing a
their segment is brutal.
It's rough.
Yeah, I've seen it. We were approached, but we were just you know, we were, I don't know what was going on, but we couldn't come up with I don't know if it was the budget was too small for where we were at the time and what we wanted to do, or I'm not sure what it was, but no, we were approached, but for some reason I can't remember why we didn't do it.
Would you want to do it though?
Yeah, I mean, look, man, my thing is that anybody, you know, asks me or even pays a little bit to for me to make a film, and I'm gonna try to do it, you know. Sometimes I just, you know, I can't get around to because I'm working on something else or whatever, but yeah, man, I mean, you know, I love doing it, so yeah, if somebody wants to include me in whatever the hell anthology, man, give me a ring, you know.
Anthologies are awesome. Kind of they're becoming a bigger thing now. I mean, they have recently they had Tales of Halloween Holidays, and we had the VHS ones, of course. The Tales of the ABCs
of Death. Yeah, and I think it's also moving toward television.
Yeah,
there's some anthologies finally coming out on TV, which is the best, you know, really the best place to do them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like just the most classic films, like the classic shows, you know, Twilight Zone,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
You know, it's like that. That's like those anthologies were like, that like shaped my childhood, you know what I mean? And a lot of, you know, people, you know, who are making movies like so anthologies to me is like, you know, I just love the idea of doing that, of having just something fresh and new every week. But you know, so it's good to see them coming back, man.
Yeah, it's good to hear that you seem to have your fingers in a lot of pies right now. Mm-hmm. You're talking about television shows and projects and things with Blair Witch and potential sequels or whatever additions to the franchise. So that's good. It looks like you're gonna have a lot coming up in the horizon, I guess, in the film world and the TV world.
Yeah, hopefully, man. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of just keep running, man, you know. Just keep moving, keep getting your at bats, you know. So I appreciate that I'm able to do this, you know. I'm very blessed.
That's incredible. Well, before we let you go, do we have any more questions that any of my co-host here want to ask or anything, or should we just wrap it up?
I'm good to go.
Dogs or cats?
Cats.
Really? Okay.
I don't know, man. I don't really like cats either. No, I mean, I think hamsters.
Okay, yeah.
Hamsters are neutral. Like, they're cute.
Like hamsters. And everyone can agree on the hamsters.
Yeah.
Hamsters are great.
All right.
Yeah, man, you can't complain about that hamster. Can't go wrong.
All right, before we let you go, Eduardo, do you want to drop any plugs or anything like that? Anything you want to tell our listeners or anything like that?
No, just follow me on Twitter. I'm on Sanchez on the Mic, which is a stupid name, but that's the one I chose. And, you know, follow me, you know, Hacks and Films, HAXAN Films. We've got a couple groups on Facebook. But, you know, we pretty much keep everybody up to date on what we're up to and, you know, try to build a community and just kind of help each other out if we can and stuff. So, Yeah, just look me up and, you know, and see what's up.
Yeah, do awesome. It, guys. Eduardo Sanchez, it looks like he's got a lot of stuff on the horizon. Check him out. Yeah, that's at Eduardo on the mic is the Twitter, right?
Sanchez on the mic. Come on, dude.
Damn it, God, Devin.
God, you're so bad.
Jesus Christ. He's so you got the sex in your head now.
Jesus.
Can't get it out.
That's all you
that's
kept
nothing
talking
new,
about.
Dude.
As soon as you mentioned that, that's all that's been on the brain.
Yeah,
God fucking damn it.
You can't think of it. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us again, Eduardo. We really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, see you guys anytime, man.
Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you, man.
Sure. Bye.
All right. That was, again, Eduardo Sanchez. Thanks for joining us, listeners. That was a fun interview. I'm glad we got to do it. Cool guy, second time around, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait until fucking Rogue One comes out and we get him on here to talk about
that. Let's do a Rogue
hey, man,
One
come
review.
Back, please.
Hopefully he's got something out around the same time, maybe. And then we'll
so we can
like,
disguise that interview.
Watch it be that Rogue One is just another Blair Witch movie. They've just been teasing us this entire time.
Oh, my
time.
God. Dylan, you're getting me horny.
What if he was able to get into the fucking Star Wars fucking franchise somehow?
I wouldn't welcome that shit.
Just found footage
well,
Star Wars.
Well, he talked about it last time.
I'm waiting for him to make a fan film.
I would fuck with a found footage Star Wars.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, hell yeah.
With like the, what's the big giant
I would just, I'd love to see like stormtroopers from their perspective just fighting. That would be tight.
What big giant monster? Like a rank? Or something?
Yeah, like a rancor, like running
first person perspective
Ewok.
Of a rancor slaughtering Ewoks. What the fuck is wrong with
we'll,
you?
We'll
man.
Put a mic, we'll put a earphone camera on him, just like he's just like eating Jedi. I love
yeah, just put a camera in his butt too. That was cool. It's cool.
Well, that way
say.
you can see the backup
that
camera.
Cool thing to say, Bluester.
He can't help it.
Just because I'm interviewing Eduardo Sanchez doesn't mean I can't be pooting myself.
No, he seems pretty receptive of that bullshit anyway, so I like him. I like him a lot. Anyway, I guess that's it, guys. Thanks for listening again. On behalf of the Horrible Crew and, of course, Eduardo Sanchez again, thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Oh. Spooky.
I didn't want to make these noises when he was here.
It's embarrassing.